Sunday Super Bowl schedule starts at 1 o'clock with a preview, 2 o'clock with an insider show, 3 o'clock with a pregame show, and then 4 o'clock you jump right into the live broadcast until the last, until they talk to the MVP and they hand the trophy over, and your day will be done right here on 101.3 FM and 1700 Champ AM. This segment for this show today is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic. Helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 West Town Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213 Des Moines, and 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Urgent injury clinics are open at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointments needed. And you can look up wait times online at demos.com. You can look up hours. They're open Monday through Friday and Saturday mornings. We had Melissa Merrifield. I had Melissa Merrifield in this week. And one of the things that she wanted to talk about the most is some of the things that they're doing with their spine services, helping people with back pain and all the different things and all the new things and everything. So there's always going to be a time. We're going to talk to Demos all the time with Melissa, doctors and all that, and bringing you new things, exciting things that are happening to help you with your care. The other fun part is Engineer Performance by Demos, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa. It's a big deal, folks. If you have a youngster and they're looking for off-season work, you can do that in Engineer Performance. A 57-year-old me needs to go get back into shape. You can go to Engineer Performance. They have a lot of people out there working with you to make your lives better. And that is what Des Moines Orthopedic is all about. And I appreciate them being a part of the program. Okay, before I jump into some more NFL stuff and looking at some of this, once again, B-Styles is coming up at 4:21. We'll do some potpourri in that last segment with just a whole bunch of stuff. And on Monday I'm not in, but I'm in Tuesday through Friday of next week. I had something come up for Monday, so I'm taking the day off of radio so I can take care of it. So what I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to talk about this yesterday, but I think it's gathering steam now as well. So yesterday we did talk a little bit about the Big 12. Worked out a deal with, I mean, the deal was not going through and they were going to be there through 2024. Yesterday, I'm trying to see if there's a time here, but I don't see a time. The Big 12 and Texas and Oklahoma worked out a deal that will send them to the SEC in 2023 and 2024. It is working into the same thing. So UCLA and USC will start in 2024. Texas and Oklahoma will start in 2024. And the college football 12-team playoff will start in 2024. So all that being said, when I first saw that, I'm like, that's really interesting. I wonder what happened. And then you start seeing some of the stuff leaking out about the Pac-12. That they're having a hard time getting to a number and getting enough television time for their organization. And then you heard that maybe they were going to bring in South Dakota, San Diego State. I hate that they both have the same the same initials. It's like I'm working with that. And so it's San Diego State and SMU. And the reason that they were willing to bring them in is that they were willing to take less than a full share to move into the Pac-12. There's a lot of people out there now that are saying that the reason that the Big 12 cut their deal with Texas and Oklahoma was to break that free, have some extra money to negotiate, and see if they can get and what they're looking at out of the Pac-12, because it's not working out how the Pac-12 thought it was going to work out. The Pac-12 originally thought, okay, the Big Ten and the ACC and us, we're going to kind of form this alliance, and we're sorry, Big 12, but you know, SEC took this from you, and we're going to try to save us. Well, the Big 12 went out and brought in BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and Central Florida, and said, okay, there's our start. Now we need to see what else we can do. And I think that what a lot of people are saying is that you could see them going after, and I'm trying to find the little four corner attribute that they said here to make sure that I don't mess it up. But I think the four corners is for them is Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah, and bringing them into the Pac-12. And maybe that's why they were so advocating that maybe we're going to go ahead and let Texas and Oklahoma go. I do see that there is some, and this is it would make some people happy in, you know, on social media that are Iowa State Cyclone fans. You know, they went, you know, you could pick up a Gonzaga, you could pick up a couple of other that are kind of basketball only schools. I still cannot believe that Memphis isn't going to be a part of this, because I don't think the SEC is going to ask Memphis to come in. I still would try to reach that way. It gives somebody close to Central Florida. You know, it's not as far for West Virginia and some of these other schools. I would definitely try to do that. And it gives you a pretty decent football team and a really good basketball team. I don't think the Big 12's done. I think the Big 10 is done for now. They're at the best position. The SEC is in the driver's seat. And I think the reason the Big 12 wants to grab, why they want to do Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah, it puts them in the later time zone so they can get some games. Because to be really honest with you, the 11 o'clock game, the 2 o'clock game, and however you want to do that, the early game, the noon to one game, and the 3 to 3:34 game, the Big Ten and the SEC are going to have a lot more power in those. So if the Big 12 can fight against that in some way and bring more in on the backside, getting those later night games, it also brings in somebody for BYU in Houston and all that. And I think when we were going through all of this, and when this first started happening, I was glad that Brett Yormark came in and he was very decisive in what he wanted to do. And I was surprised, because for me, when I was looking at the Pac-12, I thought George Kolivikoff was the second best commissioner. How little did I know that Kevin Warren was gonna come from behind and be that number one, and now he's not even there. But I think the Pac-12 and I think the Pac-12's biggest issue that they have is, as much as a television deal affects you and works for you, when you look at Pac-12 football games and you look at their stadiums, there's not as many people that are at the rest of these stadiums across the country. I don't think the Pac-12 is that. I think it's going to be a dogfight. If you're just taking football, it's going to be a dogfight between the SEC and the Big Ten, and then it's going to be the Big 12 and the Pac-12, depending on where you're at. If you switch that to all sports and you have the Big 12 able to grab four more from the Pac-12, then when you bring in football, basketball, wrestling, Olympic sports, and bring everything else, I think they start to even up. That doesn't mean the money's going to even up. It just says the number of sports and how good you are in those number of sports are going to even up. I think that's a good fit. I don't know if for me, you would see that Oregon could go wherever Oregon wants to go. They're the wild card. Stanford's another one. Stanford fits the Big Ten because of their academic standing. The problem you have with Washington and Washington State, I think Washington fits that bill, but Washington State doesn't fit that bill. And they actually get along better than some would say, unlike others, maybe like Iowa and Iowa State sometimes. I think they want to pair and go, and since they're already in the same, I don't know what's going to happen with all of that. But I think the fact that the Pac-12 right now can't find a television deal that gets them to the amount of money they want, and they'd be willing to bring in two very interesting that you would bring in two teams like San Diego State. I don't understand that. I don't think that's coming from a place of strength. I think it's coming from, oh my gosh, we're in trouble, and what am I going to do? So it's going to be very interesting. I don't think it's done, but the really funny thing is it has to get done here pretty quick. And just one more on that too, because I wrote this down, that they are going to – the SEC is trying to figure out a way that they can – when Texas and Oklahoma come. And the Big Ten's going to have to do this with USC and UCLA, as we've done already. They're thinking about doing an 8-game SEC schedule with 7 rotating teams and 1 permanent, or you play a 9-game schedule within there with 6 rotating and 3 permanent. So putting all this together and getting it ready to go by 2024 is not an easy task. And if you're going to do it, I believe they have to get this. I think whatever the Pac-12 is going to do, whatever the SEC is going to do, whatever the Big Ten is going to do, and whatever the Big 12 is going to do, you have to get this done. We're halfway through February. I think you have to have this done by the end of March, 1st of April, and know where you stand and know where you're going and know what your TV contracts are and know what your buyouts are and know what the dollars are. I don't think you can wait any longer than that. So I think that's going to be a very interesting thing. One more quick thing too. Iowa State and you and I have a top 15 duel tonight in wrestling. It is up in McLeod Center, up at UNI. It is sold out. It is going to be crazy. What Kevin Dresser and Doug Schwab have done for their wrestling programs. When you take a step back and you look at athletics as a whole, with Drake, UNI, Iowa State, and Iowa, men's, women's, all the different sports, and where we're at, it's a really good time. It's a really good time to be here in the state of Iowa and watching. I think we have a unique way of doing name, image, and likeness. I think it's working. I think it works better in some places than it does in others, and I think the some places are getting better. And I think it's going to be a pretty good thing, and I think it's going to work out. It takes time. I think that's the biggest thing that we have right now, is the amount of time that we're spending talking about stuff that's not actually sport related and trying to set these conferences. And the biggest one of all is the NCAA just keeps, they came out the other day, we talked about it on the show for a little bit, on, you know, how they take care of when, how they fit into doing the way that they punish people. They're still wanting to go with the, I'm going to punish, and then you're going to have to refute it, and if you do, then it's okay, but we're punishing you first. So we're gonna inflict this on you, and then you have to try to fight your way through. And the reason that, I have no idea what reason they're doing that for, because the Supreme Court has told them not to. They have courts that have told them not to do this. If you do this, you're breaking the antitrust rule, and if you continue to do that, see, this is the biggest problem the NCAA has right now. The leadership of the NCAA is asking Congress to come in and save them. Listen, Congress does enough things to irritate people. Jumping into the sports business is not a win-win for them, and they don't want anything to do with it. And I actually don't think that they agree with the legal minds in the NCAA that think that they have a leg to stand on. I think they're actually with the institutions and the college athletes to say, okay, you guys have had this way wrong for a long time, and we've tried to help you get out of it, and you never listen to us, and you just keep going back to doing the same thing, and now it's going to cost you some money. It's going to cost you a lot of money. And if you continue to break these antitrust laws and keep doing the things you're doing, we're going to take that exemption away from you. And then what you're looking at is, to be really honest, if it gets to that point, you're looking at the end of the NCAA and you're looking at the end of athletics as we know them, because breaking that antitrust law and not having that exemption means that all these student athletes are employees. They're like you and I working at a company. The company happens to be the university, the college that they are at. And then you have payment, and then you have insurance, and you have this, and you have that, and it doesn't work. But you can't get the NCAA. I'm trying to think in the last 5 years of everything that the NCAA has done in trying to go after student athletes, trying to go after coaches, trying to go after universities, trying to do all that. What have they won? They haven't won anything. They lose all the time, but yet they go right back in. And the amount of money that they've spent to fight all of these things that, if you look at it, is just a natural progression of a sport and the popularity and the number of people that are willing to do it and watch it, and spent all their money taking everybody to court instead of taking that money and making product better. It's really irritating. Brendan Stiles coming up next. Andrew is at the back door. I'm going to go let him in. We're gonna have a bunch of fun. We got two segments left, a lot to talk about. I'll be back. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Be right back, right after this break.
Here's a look at traffic off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Drive home safely. Happy hour, it's drive time, all those things. Get home safe or get where you're going safely. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, AM 101.3 FM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. This segment is going to be brought to you by, since I have Mr. Andrew Steenblock sitting in here with me, it's going to be brought to you by Palmer Group. Employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, they have over how many jobs on the website, Mr. Andrew John?
Probably about like 450.
450, folks. At thepalmergroup.com, jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking keep the staff and candidates very busy. I can tell you that they do, since my middle son Andrew just came in and said, wow, what a day and what a week. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. I want to thank them for being a part of the program. Also want to thank Mr. Brendan Stiles. He's at DB Stiles on Twitter for being a part of the program. B, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing really good. Getting ready to enjoy a Super Bowl weekend.
Indeed.
Kind of the first question I was going to throw at you, I watched both the Iowa women's game and the Iowa men's game. Two losses, yep. But I thought both teams played really well.
Yeah, well, for the women, it's a tougher loss because they're legitimately competing for a Big Ten title, and Indiana's the team that they're going against. I do think that The good news for the Hawkeye women in that regard is that they do get Indiana at home in a couple weeks before the Big Ten tournament. So I think that's an opportunity for them to get even and they be back in the thick of things. And, you know, it just is a matter of how you do with other games around it and how Indiana does. But tough loss, but they like you said, they play tough. And then as far as the men are concerned, look, anytime you're going on the road against the number one team in the country, I would temper the expectations just a little bit. They got hammered early on, and to their credit, they made it a game there in the second half before Purdue was able to pull away. But that was just a matter of them just kind of being overmatched. I will say the game that I'm going to be going to in a little less than 48 hours, I expect that to be a different story from what you saw last night.
In what game? The Iowa-Minnesota game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a different game. And I was surprised. I thought, oh, my gosh, here we go again. Minnesota had missed a game during the week because of COVID protocol, and I thought Iowa's going to have that happen to them again. I'm glad that didn't happen to them again.
Well, as far as we know, it hasn't happened yet. at this point, knock wood, hopefully it remains that way. But, I'm just being frank about it. The Gophers are terrible.
Yeah, really, really bad.
Like, I've been talking before about how, look, as long as Iowa handles its business at home, they'll, for the most part, they're going to be fine. This is one of those games where it's like, I know it's on the road and the barn's a tough environment, but you got to win this one. You already have the loss to Eastern Illinois. You don't want to add another bad loss to the resume.
The Gophers run the risk of not scoring 10 points in the first half again.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. That is not good. Just taking it one back to the men's game, and then I got one for the women's game, too.
Yep.
The men's game. I think what Purdue showed last night is even when Zach Edey doesn't have one of his games, they're still a good enough team. I think people out there thought, well, it's just him and a bunch of others. Well, I think they showed last night that it's a little different than that.
Yeah, but I also wonder how much of that is Iowa and
not playing
defense. I don't want the lack of defense that is there from time to time. I agree. Purdue's legitimately the number one team in the country right now. I'm not going to dispute that. I do have some concerns about them come March, mainly because the guards they have are inexperienced. It's not that they can't do it. It's just that they haven't done it. And as you know, the tournament's all about guard play, and that's going to be something that teams are going to be keying in on Zach Edey when they go to face them in March. So that's the one thing that gives me a little bit of concern about the Boilermakers. Otherwise, yeah, they're as far as the Big Ten's concerned, they're clearly the best team in the conference. That's not something I would dispute, but as far as them making a deep run, I do have some concerns about that.
Yep, I agree with that, too. Inexperience in the NCAA tournament is not good. This might be one of those years, though, that it's not as big a deal just because some of the Blue Bloods, you know, some of how they're playing is crazy. But for the women's game, this was my takeaway last night, Shizano's not going to score 6 points again. And the other
not going to miss free throws like that again.
No,
either.
I don't think either one of those are going to happen, and they're going to play better. Now, what's going to be fun is if both teams can take care of business, and you get a neutral floor in the Big Ten championship game. I think that's a game that everybody needs to watch because there was a lot of talent on the floor last night, and it's going to be fun. And I thought that did really well for women's basketball. Just some of the games that they have coming up.
For
there's
sure.
a lot of good teams playing with a lot of good players getting ready to play right now. This is Super Bowl weekend though. And you know, what's your first thoughts on Sunday's game?
I was kind of hinting at this last time I was on with you, but the thing that I'm going to be watching we all know, and I realize I'm on a Chiefs affiliate here. We know that Mahomes is the best player on either team, and Travis Kelce's probably the second best player on either team. And if this is like, if we were talking like basketball, like if this is NBA, then I would be like, okay, you go with the team with the better players, or with the best players. This is one of those instances where I look at the matchups in the trenches, and I get the feeling that Philadelphia has the advantage on both sides of the ball or both sides of the line of scrimmage. You talk about their offensive line, the fact that they have three Pro Bowlers on it and two guys that are probably going to end up being Hall of Famers and Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson. And you know, Kansas City, they're strong up the middle, obviously, with Chris Jones, but they don't really have the same kind of pass rush that, like, the 49ers had. And you saw what Philly was able to do on the ground against them, albeit against a team that didn't have a quarterback. But that's something where I feel like if Philadelphia can control the time of possession, they can establish a run. That's the one thing I thought Cincinnati would be able to do against the Chiefs that they didn't do with Joe Mixon. And you know that Philadelphia, whether it's Jalen Hurts keeping it or handing it off to Miles Sanders, they're going to utilize the run game. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball, you see guys like Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Hassan Reddick. The first two of those guys were on the Eagles the last time they won the Super Bowl. And with Mahomes, I know the ankle's better, but that's still an issue at this point. And if if the Eagles are able to get some sort of pass rush where they don't have to blitz, that's going to be huge for them in this game. Because you go back to what they've been able to do up to this point, and yeah, Mahomes is probably the best quarterback that they have faced this season, would face obviously with this being the Super Bowl. But I think that they have some advantages that I don't know if Kansas City can just counter with just simply with Mahomes throwing the ball to Kelce over and over again.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, sorry, B, but I would say that I'm pretty sure that I don't want Pacheco to run the ball more than 10 times on Sunday. And I don't think that he's going to have to. I think Brandon Ayuk put it pretty well, saying, I hope that the Chiefs do what we wanted to do and just expose their pass game. And I mean, what better team to do it than the Chiefs?
Right.
Yeah, and it's
well, yeah, absolutely.
It's gonna matter, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But I would say that even with the 49, like, let's say Brock Purdy doesn't get hurt in that game, I still don't know just how much the 49ers would have been able to exploit the Eagles, because they've looked dominant so far this postseason.
Mm-hmm. I'm worried about the offense. I'm worried about the line battle, because I mean, the Chiefs couldn't mm-hmm. They were able to stop Nixon a little bit there, but again, the Bengals had three offensive linemen out, and I mean,
yeah, and that's just it. Philadelphia, that's not going to be the case.
No.
And that's the thing that Kansas City has to do too. Because Patrick Mahomes, you're taking away one thing from Patrick Mahomes, and that is when he's in trouble running up in the middle of the field mm-hmm. and getting a first down. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Hurts is going to do that. Now, I don't know how many, you know, just they're going to call a run play for Jalen Hurts, because you have to mm-hmm. remember he didn't take very many hits, and his shoulder is still not 100%. So they don't want to do that.
This is true.
Because they don't want Gardner Minshew to win them the Super Bowl. So
well, I mean, Gainwell and Eli Sanders, they're going to run.
And I'll say this about the Chiefs defense. Nick Bolton's good, but like, other than when you look at Chris Jones and Frank Clark, they don't really have some of the same pieces that they had in the past in their back seven. The guy that I think of immediately is Tyrann Mathieu. They don't have him back
they
there. They kind of command things in the secondary.
They don't have Sorensen, but that might be a benefit for him.
Right. And, you know, this could end up being a game that ends up coming down to special teams. And in that case, it could go either way.
Yeah, both special teams are really good. I mean, this is one of the – if you wanted to take a look at what the two most complete teams look like in the National Football League, I think these are the two most complete teams. Special teams, punt, kicking, defense, offense, offensive line. I mean, they all have pieces. They're the reason that they're there. They have good coaching. You know, the whole thing, and that's why they're here. And if you look at the ages of these two teams, except for some of the offensive linemen for the Eagles, and some of the just other players for the Kansas City Chiefs, they're young.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I mentioned how the D line for the Eagles had that experience of being in the Super Bowl when it was up here and they beat New England. Same thing with their offensive line with those guys that I mentioned. They were all there for that too. So that's something. The fact that the experience they do have comes in that area of the field, I think that's huge for them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I think, you know, it's interesting to see. I can't wait to listen to some of the pregame mm-hmm. shows and see how they frame the game, because I think there's a big chance, and I'm not even saying which team, I think there's a bigger chance of there being a blowout by somebody than there is a game that's decided in the last 2 minutes. Either both you guys agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, well, I'll put it to you this way. If you're going to tell me that this game is going to be double digits, then I'm telling you right now that Philadelphia's winning. Because you talked about teams that are complete. I think the Eagles are a more complete team, and I have a hard time believing that they're going to lose by double digits if they were to lose this game. I think it's more likely that it could be similar to what you saw a few years ago, the last time Kansas City won, where if the Chiefs win, it's going to have to take something, late where they're able to withstand everything that comes to them. Mahomes can deliver a knockout punch. Whereas if Philadelphia is able to get pressure on them early and often, I don't want to say it'll be exactly like the game 2 years ago against Tampa Bay, but I could easily see it being something where the Eagles win this game, you know, maybe by like 10 points or so, or two touchdowns.
Took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say that I think the Eagles might be able to get a double-digit lead going into halftime, and then the Chiefs are going to have to play comeback. But
And that's where not having Tyreek Hill hurts Kansas City.
It does.
And not having the experience at receiver that they've had in the past.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to ask both of you this too. Be you first. If Patrick Mahomes comes out of this with a Super Bowl win, either a comeback win or just a great performance, where does that cement him in the hierarchy of Super Bowl quarterbacks?
I can't put him ahead of Brady because Brady's got seven. But he's definitely in the conversation. I think there's the tier of guys who have won it, and then there are the tier of guys who have won it multiple times. And being in that, I think he's going to definitely rank, probably top five among those quarterbacks. And you would certainly say at that point he's on his way to a Hall of Fame career. Look, he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now, so I'm not going to, necessarily doubt his ability to lead Kansas City to a win here. It can't be something for the Chiefs where has to do it all by himself ends up being something where it's just him and Kelce carrying the load like they have for the majority of the season.
And I'm going to ask you, Andrew, for Jalen Hurts on that side. And I love what Jalen Hurts said. One of the first things I led my show off with today, he said, I had a purpose before you guys had an opinion. And I think that's Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts wins this football game, throws the ball well, runs a few, gets a couple of touchdowns, wins MVP. Andrew, where does that what does that do for Jalen Hurts? Do they back the Brinks truck up and say, man, we got to sign Jalen Hurts. We got our guy.
I think you can say that he's a quarterback is what you can say after that one. Yeah, you can say he's not a running back that can pass the ball. Same with Lamar. They're quarterbacks and they're darn good quarterbacks.
B, what do you think?
Can I add one thing to that is that, yes, I think they would obviously back the Brinks truck up for him, but the cautionary tale here is they did the same thing after the last time they won. Granted, Carson Wentz wasn't in that Super Bowl, but they gave him the money, and then they got out of it real quickly when they got Jalen Hurts. So this is something where he's got to be able to stay consistent. If he shows any sort of regression, Philadelphia has shown or demonstrated, at least with the current front office that they have, that they're willing to, roll the dice if they need to at any given point.
I think the only difference there is Wentz, the psyche was there. He was the guy.
Exactly.
He was MVP season, and then he gets hurt, and Foles wins the championship, and then the entire city just kind of turns their back on him. And I think that won't happen. I mean, fingers crossed. But
it technically happened twice because Foles ended up being their quarterback the following postseason, too.
Yeah, it did. That's the crazy thing. All right, B, we got 30 seconds. Who's winning, and what's the score?
Well, the way I've been talking, I think you know where I'm going here. I'm going to say Philadelphia wins 27-17.
27-17. If it's 27-17, that's a good Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I want to see a good Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, I'm more into that. I think these teams are more alike. I think this means a lot for Andy Reid being on both sides. I think it's a big thing for Travis Kelce's
mom. That's the one thing that gives me pause is I think Andy Reid has a huge advantage over Nick Sirianni just with his experience.
Yeah, but I love. I mean, I wasn't impressed with Nick Sirianni to start, but man, I'm on the on his bandwagon now. As always, B, we'll talk about this next week. But thanks for coming on, brother.
Right.
I love it.
Sounds
Thank you.
Good. All right, enjoy the game.
B Stotts. Good old B. All right, so we've got one more segment. We got to get through a lot of stuff. So are you ready to do that?
Some rapid fire. Let's go.
Some rapid fire. We'll get her done. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Andrew and I will finish up right after this break.
When you're listening to Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Happy Friday. Last segment on this Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. You and I, Indiana State at Cedar Falls tomorrow at 12:30. Then Sunday, our coverage starts at 1 o'clock. You get the live broadcast comes in at 4, and we'll take you to the end of the game. I want to thank all the sponsors of the show: Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, Palmer Group, and Des Moines Orthopedic. Thank you for being a part of the show. Happy Friday. Happy Friday, buddy.
Happy Friday.
Okay, so some rapid fire stuff. First, is there this? Somebody said this today, and I'm thinking I agree with this. The Waste Management Phoenix Open is like the sixth major. It is yeah. that important of a golf tournament. I mean, all the big names go. They love it. That's a pretty big deal. It's the funnest tournament to watch.
It's basically like it's the players. It's the players. Yeah, yeah. And what I didn't know is this is only Rory McIlroy's second time in the event.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Do you?
There's usually a like Liv is actually playing in a tournament on. I can't remember where at, but I think he usually played on a tournament in a different place.
Okay, yeah.
But I think now that he lives in the U.S. the majority of the time, I think he understands all of that.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods going to play at his tournament. It's the Genesis Open. It's playing at Riviera, which is seriously, it's one of the top eight courses in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's that revered.
It's great to play on PGA 2K as well.
Yeah, I bet. and it's just a really cool. It's just another one of those really cool places that you can play.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see him actually play because he hasn't. It's the first tournament he's played in that's not a major or not made for TV.
Yeah.
In like 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, so
and I was seeing a few of my friends on Snapchat. They're actually at the Waste Management Open, and I guess I can say Jake Hummel and Charlie Kohler are there right now.
Really?
Send me a Snapchat of those two.
That's fun.
In the gallery on 16.
Crazy.
So I'm sure that they're having a good time
That is a great time.
Yeah.
There's so many things I want to talk to you about. You know, the Minnesota Vikings are pretty close here. I read Justin Jefferson's first three NFL seasons. Man, it's crazy. I mean, his stuff that he's doing on the offensive side of the ball as a wide receiver is pretty crazy. Justin Jefferson, the best wide receiver in football, top five.
I think it's hard to say no to that. I mean, he's putting up numbers. I mean, I was talking about this the other day, but Antonio Brown from 2012 to about 2018, he was on a path to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yep. I mean, just ridiculous numbers. And I think, I mean, Jay Jets is on that same path, I think.
I agree with
that. If he can keep it up and if they can keep things together in Minnesota, I don't know if that'll be possible, but.
Right. And it's going to be different too. And Brian Flores coming and being Minnesota's defensive coordinator is going to change the attitude of that team, which may help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the problem was Kirk Cousins. I think the problem was their defense couldn't stop anybody. And that's why there were so many one score games, but
I won't absolve Kirk Cousins of all wrongdoings, but I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So when you're where I was just ready to take you to another place and you said that, you made me laugh. I know. So I know that you and Ben Wilson and all your buddies, your Kansas City Chiefs fans, I saw renderings today of the NFL draft, in KC.
Looks pretty sweet.
It is crazy. I
need to make the trip down there. I got a few buddies in KC that I can probably go see.
You got to go. Yeah. It's right in front of Union Station. It's taken up like a four city block.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too old to go, but you are not.
And I'll get to see hopefully at least a few Bears draft picks. I don't know if they're gonna do with that one pick. Maybe to get like I don't know 5, 12 and something else. But
I think that's what they're. Yeah. I think they're gonna end up getting three picks in the first round for that. I think that I think that'll be exciting too. If you had to put all your eggs in a basket, taking everything else away, no matter what you. Would you pick Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts? If you owned a football team and they said, Andrew, here's the deal. You can take one of these two quarterbacks to be your quarterback for the next 10 years. Are you taking Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts?
I think the pretty easy answer would be just, you know, based on what we've seen so far to both of them, you know, definitely a MVP caliber year for Jalen Hurts, but Mahomes has done this year in and year out now. And I would like to see him be the first MVP to win the Super Bowl. I know it's been 9 in a row. Like out of the 9 that have won, none of them have won the Super Bowl. So maybe history won't repeat itself this time.
I'm trying to get into Spagnola's head here on what Kansas City does. I think they're going to throw all kinds of different stuff at Jalen Hurts. I think they're going to give him anything that he wants underneath. And I think they're going to pressure him from all over the place. I think they're going to move their defensive line all over the place to see if they can get pressure. And if they let him run, they wanted him to run in the middle of the field so they can hit him.
Mm-hmm. I'm just worried about AJ Brown. I don't know who's going to be able to guard him.
Yeah, that's true too. And I, you know, somebody said today, well, if Patrick Mahomes gets sacked 6 times, he's going to lose. And I'm like, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't have time on some plays that he can get the ball downfield, I don't think they can win. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think anybody's going to stop a Kansas City Chief offense from getting the ball downfield.
I think the deciding factor is going to be, can the Chiefs make them pass the ball? Because it was the same thing with the Niners. You know, I was thinking if we can force, you know, Gainwell and Sanders not to rush for 200-plus combined yards, there might be a chance. But with the Niners, the best rush defense in the league, they couldn't stop them. They were getting blown off the ball 3 yards every play.
And some of that was coming from the fact that the San Francisco 49ers defense was on the field all the time. Because they didn't have anybody. They couldn't even get first downs.
Yeah. And Warner gets hurt, you know, that first couple of plays, and you know, he's like, he comes back, but he comes back as a little bit of a shell of himself, and kind of just went downhill from there.
Okay, just kind of winging one here. If you were in charge of the Green Bay Packers, what are you doing with Aaron Rodgers?
I'd turn the lights on and ship him somewhere.
I would. I don't know what the Green Bay Packers get from having him play another year. They've already done it before. Mm-hmm. They've shown that they can get rid of a quarterback. I think, and I even think that Brett Favre was in better standing with the Green Bay Packer fans and the front office than Aaron Rodgers is. I said today that I think he is one of the funnest people to watch on the, you know who Aaron Rodgers is. This is who he is.
He's a bully.
He's Russell Westbrook. That's who he is.
Yeah.
He's Russell Westbrook on the football field.
And he's very mean to my Chicago Bears.
He is very mean to your Chicago Bears. He you don't know what he's going to do. He goes off script. I mean, when they were talking about the last, I saw today for an NBA take, the last 5 or 6, 7 games that Russell Westbrook played, he never ran a play that they called. He was out of his mind. Mm. How he was thinking that he could play basketball. It shocks me. It doesn't shock me because I never have been a Russell Westbrook fan. I've been a Russell Westbrook talent fan. I just don't want him on my team.
But I give Russ the benefit of the doubt there. You know, he came into a situation with Bron and AD. You know, it didn't quite work out initially the way that they had both hoped. So he rolled with the punches, took the role coming off the bench. He was in the conversation to be sixth man of the year. You know, he was doing his job. You know, he's an all-star. I mean, you know, he's an all-star. He's Russell Westbrook, and he, you know, did what he had to do. You know, he came off the bench. He was that guy. He wasn't getting playing time in the fourth quarter. He took it in stride, and you can't blame him for being, upset about it.
It's funny that him and Pat Beverly on the same team don't like each other, went through all that, and they were kind of – it looked like they were trying to go at each other to see who they were going to keep, and the Lakers went, I'm going to get rid of both of you. Yeah.
I thought that he kind of turned things around when he started to come off the bench and, you know, really start producing there. But, you know, whatever happens, happens. Yeah. It's the NBA.
I'm a way bigger Russell Westbrook fan than I am a Patrick Beverly fan. I don't like Patrick Beverly at all. I don't even know if I'd like him if he was on my team.
Yeah, he's kind of the Draymond Jr.
Oh, my goodness. With a whole lot less talent.
Yeah.
But I do agree with that. Iowa State gets Oklahoma State this weekend at home. They got to win that game. Who they just play?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. When West Virginia comes to Ames, that's going to be ugly. Mm-hmm. I think it's a 30-point waylay.
I'm hoping it's not a repeat of the last time that we played Oklahoma State, because there was a Chiefs game that same day, so I didn't get to watch it. And what did we lose by 2 points? It was 59-61, something like that. Just
another one of those games that we can't do enough. And I'm not trying to be, to cover for Iowa State, because we did enough in that game not to win. It's kind of like the Iowa Hawkeye women. You can't shoot that poorly from the free throw line and expect to win a game against the number 2 team in the country on an away game. Mm-hmm. West Virginia plays really well at home. They've always played really well at home. It's Bob Huggins. You have to be able to take care of the ball. I mean, we actually shot free throws better than I thought we would, but we didn't take care of the ball.
Yeah, and obviously, you can say one thing or the other about, Iowa State being called for 30-plus fouls. The refs didn't lose us that game. Iowa State turnovers lost us that game, and the refs just made it terrible to watch.
I made it ungodly to watch. Yeah. Thanks for coming in a couple days here, buddy. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. You've been listening to Steen on Sports with Andrew Steenblok and myself. You've been listening to us live on 1700 Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. I will see you on Tuesday. Remember, I'm off on Monday. We'll talk about the Super Bowl.
Jeez.
See you then.